We show love in the actions that we take, putting other people before ourselves.
This is Chapter, Verse, and Season, a lectionary podcast from Yale Bible Study. Join us each week as two Yale Divinity School professors look at an upcoming text from the Revised Common Lectionary. This episode, we have Erica Helgen, Associate Professor of Latin American and Latinx Christianity, and Chloe Starr, Professor of Asian Christianity and Theology. They're discussing John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17, which is appointed for the sixth Sunday of Easter in year B. Here's the text. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that my Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another."
So I think it's sometimes easy to hear this, to read this, you know, the idea, love one another as I have loved you, and think, you know, this is so kind of simple, but also so abstract, right? This idea that love is kind of a feeling, you know, all we have to do is just love each other, have warm, fuzzy feelings towards each other. But what strikes me is immediately after talking about this is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you, we have the kind of definition of part of this love is laying down one's life for one's friend. And that's such a specific action and such a radical, extreme action in terms of what it means to love someone. And historically, of course, you know, as I've seen in the history of Latin American religion and Latin American liberation theology, Christians took this very seriously, this idea that the commandment is to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you see this with, you know, priests and Christians who were being killed in Central America and South America during the time of the dictatorships and civil wars. This idea that, no, this is what we were told. This is love, to lay down one's life. And to me, you know, the idea that love is action, right? Love is putting other people before yourself is kind of what stands out, or at least what takes it from this very abstract idea to concrete action.
Yeah, absolutely. And the words here, as I have loved, so Christ's death is the sign of love. So Christian love has this natural tendency to self-sacrifice because it's coming out of our understanding of Jesus's love for us as his friends. I was thinking, as you were just mentioning, you know, even today we see Christian self-sacrifice out of love. So I was thinking about the Italian priests who died early on in the COVID because they went out and ministered to their people. But in my own field, I think more about back to the 1950s. And I've written on this, so I was thinking about Roman Catholic priest named Bede Chang, who exemplified this, you're not dying for an abstract ideal, but the people who died as martyrs during the oppression in the 1950s of the church in China, they died for their friends. They died very specifically to stop other people having to become informants or to stop themselves from informing on others. They took death over very particular friends and congregants that they would save. Whereas the people who held up a Christian ideal often spent decades in prison as living martyrs for that ideal. But I think to die, you do it for others. Like parents, you know, in a secular world, non-Christian, people die for their children and they die protecting others. But as you say, it's this very concrete enactment of love.
Yeah, and it's interesting here, we're hearing a lot about friends, right? That you're doing this for friends. And, you know, who is a friend, right? That's who Jesus loves. And I think part of what this also makes me think of is, you know, from Latin American history, is the idea of the preferential option for the poor and the oppressed, right? We show love in the actions that we take, and our actions, especially how we show up for the poor and the oppressed, especially how we're putting other people before ourselves.
Yeah, and this notion of friendship as one who loves or is loved. So Jesus laying down his life for those he loved, philos, the friends. I think we need to reintegrate this notion of loving into friendship. We're often a bit coy about using words like love of our friends. It's there in the Anglo-Saxon, phreon, to love. Jesus raises the nature of friendship as well. Those who abide in love. You know, Lazarus is his beloved. Jesus loves him. He talks about the beloved. And this sense of us loving our friends and the notion of friendship as something powerful and something so strong, I think it'd be great for us in the church to recapture this and to elevate not just spousal love, but to understand the depths of friendship love and rethink about that. I am reminded of the way that different cultures see friendship as well as love in very different ways. So when I first came to the States, you know, a decade ago, I had to go to China for summer, and I was in the middle of trying to buy a house. And I just got one of my friends, who was also a colleague here, to have power of attorney so he could finish off the house purchase process. And it was only later I discovered that that was a kind of leaning on your friend's level that doesn't often happen. And I was sort of working on European and notions of friendship and depths of friendship and what I could ask of my friends and what I could easily, you know, demand of somebody who was only quite a light friend at that point, and sort of readjusting my expectations. So I would love to have a deeper conversation about what friendship means and what this living in the light of and then seeing your Christian congregation and others as a friend in some sense and therefore, you know, demanding worthy of your love.
I could not agree more. I think that, you know, that is something that also kind of came up when I was rereading the passage of redefining friendship, redefining love. You know, again, if we're coming away from the idea that love is this sort of abstract feeling that you only feel in certain moments for certain people, but rather love is action, right? You know, here we're seeing the most extreme action of laying down your life, dying for other people. But again, love is being this things that we're doing for other people, and that, you know, friendship can have this kind of deeper commitment to one another. And when we're thinking about, you know, within our congregations, within our communities, a commitment to each other, not just on an abstract level of feeling that we care about each other, but actually showing up for each other and doing things for each other and putting each other, you know, before ourselves.
Yeah, and this is also part of our discipleship. And in the passage, it talks about Father being glorified in the mission of the Son and how this is then passed on to the disciples. It's our sharing in Jesus's life. And I think that's something to think about, how our lives and our work and our bearing fruit are a sharing in Jesus's life. And we're often hesitant to claim this, but here this becoming a disciple is loving Jesus and loving one another. That's, you know, we've just had the Bartlett lectures at YDS from Alexander Daig, and thinking about our lives being oriented towards God. We're never there, but oriented towards. And, you know, love is ethical and metaphysical here. It's not a matter of will, but it's about our unity of being. by virtue of this divine grace. So love and commands come together. And we're often not thinking about sort of obedience. We don't want to, we hesitate, we push back against this as a sort of outcome of our love. And yet, you know, here it is a source of our joy in that. And joy comes to fulfillment in continuing Jesus' mission. And loving is comes naturally from this life of Jesus. It's not obeying commands that makes you loved. It's because you love that you then obey the commands.
Thanks for listening. For a transcript of today's episode and lots more, check out yalebiblestudy.org. Chapter, Verse, and Season is a production of the Center for Continuing Education at Yale Divinity School. It's produced by creator and managing editor Joel Baden, production manager Kelly Morrissey, associate producer Aidan Stoddart, and I'm your host and executive producer Helena Martin. And our theme music is by Calvin Linderman. We'll be back with another conversation from Chapter, Verse, and Season.